that there is a concept of Mayim Achronim, and we're not sure how to relate to it. There seems to be a different presentation between yesterday's Daf Yomi and our Sugi here in Chulin. That the Gemara in Chulin calls it a Chova, in contrast with the mitzvah of Mayim Rishonim, presenting them differently from each other. And the Gemara in Brachos, yesterday's Daf Yomi, presents them together with what looks like a drasha. We'll assume it's not an actual drasha, it's an asmachta of some kind, a quasi drasha, from words in Parsha Shmini, Viskadashtem, Visem, Kedoshim. And you get a different impression. So the Gemara in Brachos sounds like it's an aspect of Kedusha, that it's more of a ritual. There the Gemara says that greasy hands, yadayim zuamos, are disqualified for a bracha, just like a kohen who has such hands would be disqualified from the avoda until he takes care of it. And here in our Gemara, you get the impression that mayim achronim is more functional, and it's just to prevent a problem, because melech sedomis is dangerous and can cause blindness, God forbid, if it's on your fingers. So you should clean off your fingers afterwards. And that seems to be a different presentation. So when our Gemara here says that Mayim Achronim is Chov as opposed to Mitzvah, like Levi pointed out yesterday, it sounds like it's contrasting that Mayim Rishonim, that's a ritual idea. That's a mitzvah that is there to remind us of the whole structure of Truma. While Mayim Achronim is more functional. So Chova could mean something you got to do, but not something that is of a ritual component. So how do you address the difference between these two Gemaras? So is Mayim Achronim anything at all ritual or not? That was essentially our question. Does Mayim Achronim have any kind of a mitzvah status to it? Or is it something that is just functional? And if it's just functional, then maybe it might also be circumstance dependent. And maybe it might be that Bezman Hazeh, it may be impacted, even though there's all kinds of variables one can argue about. But we saw that a little bit to be the case. So that's something that we need to figure out, how to relate to it. And we also threw into that question that, assuming that it's not going to be a daraisa, so it's an asmachta, presumably, Tosus here calls it an asmachta, but we noted that asmachta has been perceived in different ways. So what do we mean by asmachta? We mean there's really no relationship between the pasuk and the din is just catching a ride on the pasuk, but it doesn't have any actual connection. So maybe it's really still irrelevant, and it's just there as a functional thing? Or is there something that the pasuk does tell us that connects to this din, albeit a din derabanan, and therefore maybe the din derabanan is patterned after some kind of a kedusha message? So, first of all, how do we reconcile the two different presentations? So one approach is the approach of the Ravid and the approach that the Ritva quotes from the Ravid. You got to see the Ritva today, hopefully. And it's also the approach that Rav Achaigon has on in the Sheiltos and Parshas Yisro. I didn't ask you to look at that. The Sheiltos, I didn't give you that to see. The Sheiltos was a sefer written by Rav Achai. Rav Achai was a late Gaon, was really the early Rishonim, lived in the 900s. And he put together a sefer organized by the Parshas HaShavua, where he goes through various halachic topics. And presumably it would have been an important sefer one way or another, But part of its prominence nowadays is that the Netziv wrote a commentary on it. So you can buy it with the Netziv's commentary, the Heimek Sha'ala. Other versions also. Mirsky wrote a commentary also. But for that, but the Netziv's commentary, so one of his well-known svarim. But in any event, so the Netziv, the Sheoltos, also says like this, that the idea is that you would still need both dinim, because the Kedusha is only relevant to the one making the bracha. And the way Zimun used to happen, the way the Shulchan Aruch describes Zimun, is that the Mezamim, it's not like we do it nowadays, that there's the Nusach of Rabbosai Nevarech, and then basically everyone benches on their own. But the Mezamim would do the entire thing out loud, and everyone else would listen. So if that's the way it's happening, so then the only one who really needs to wash Mishum Kedusha would be the Mezamim. So if all you have is Mayim Achronim because of Kedusha, so then that wouldn't impose an obligation on everyone else. And therefore, you still have the din of Melech Sodomus to tell you that everyone else ends up washing too. So this is a fascinating idea from several angles. It doesn't help us so much nowadays. If that was really the Hesber, so that would be more historic than practical, because nowadays, so we all do bench on our own usually for Mezumin, so then we would be back to everybody being required to wash before benching. And even then, it was an interesting take on things. So this is brought in the tour. And the Bach asks on the tour, the Bach says, how could this be? Because still, even if only one person is actually benching, but everyone else is still fulfilling the mitzvah of benching because of Shomei Kaone. So therefore, Al Pidin, everyone is benching. So why should it help that they're not actually saying it? They should still have an obligation to wash anyway. That's the Bach's question. So this is all very interesting. I try not to go on too great of a tangent when we're in the middle of the regular shiur, so I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but I'll just mention, and if you want, I can make this available for a Purim topic, but it's up to you, because we have lots of Purim topics to talk about. But this is a particular interesting one, but I won't go into it now. But the question of how Shemaya Kaona works is actually a big machlokas. It's a Purim topic, because we all will use Shemaya Kaona. I should say all, but most of us will use Shemaya Kaona to be yotzei the mitzvah of Megillah. So when it comes to Shemaya Kaona, it's actually a big discussion whether Shemaya Kaona means it's as if you yourself are reciting the bracha, or it's not as if you are reciting the bracha, it's that you fulfill the mitzvah by listening to somebody else who is reciting the bracha. And one of the ramifications would be exactly this point, that if you have dirty hands, does it matter if somebody else is actually reciting the bracha? Are you considered as if you are doing it, and therefore you have to have everything in place? Or, in the Eri, Maseches Bracha says the suffix, actually. Or is it that, no, you don't have to have everything in place. It's only the guy who's actually making the bracha who's doing it. You are just fulfilling the mitzvah through this alternate route of listening to him. So there's a lot to explore there about how Shemaya Kaona works. It's a very labetic topic. Again, one that has some relevance to Purim. You can let me know if it's something you want to hear about in a separate forum. We won't explore it now. But that was just relevant here as an objection to this point, that wouldn't really get us out of this issue. If that was, that's what the Bach said, that if that's it, then why shouldn't we have to have everyone watch, even for benching, even if they are listening to somebody else? So, instead, the other approach is the approach of Tosis. And to say that, no, really, all of it emerges from the Melech Sidonis. It's really all about Melech Sidonis. And we have an Asmachta that is to serve that. But there isn't really any din beyond that. And if we don't have the considerations of Melech Sidonis, or we don't have dirty hands, so then we don't have to wash anymore. So that was a view that some accepted. We noted the Shulchan Aruch in the end of the Siman says that some have this minute. And we mentioned Rabbi Shecht and Rabbi Willig, among others, accept this as practice. And others object. So why would you object? Either because you hold that, no, it's still Mishum Kedusha, like the Gemara and Bracha sounds like. Or, like the Gra and the Aruch HaShulchan and others say, who is it up to us to say that there is no Melech Sidonis? Maybe sea salt is Melech Sidonis. Maybe other things are Melech Sidonis. How do we know exactly how to come to that conclusion? And the Aruch HaShulchan, in fact, writes that he thinks that even Tosfos didn't mean it. And that Tosfos was just saying this as a limud zchus. That because there are people who were not washing mayim achronim, so Tosfos was melamed zchus to say that it must be that maybe they're relying on the absence of Melech Sidonis nowadays. But really, anybody who cares actually should do it. And Mishnah Berurah has a similar approach in this case. Now this also ends up impacting the question of the Bracha, which, as you see from the sources, it's actually a two-pronged question. Right? What are the two questions related to the bracha? Bracha involves two questions. Right? What are they? Do you make a bracha? And what should the bracha be? So what are the candidates for the bracha? So you would think al netilas yadayim, or al rechitzas yadayim, or al Shatifas Yadayim, right? So, as the Ritva discusses and as the Raivid discusses, so why should it be Rechitzas Yadayim, perhaps? So, if you don't need a Kli, right, and you don't need Koach Gavra, right, we're not going to spend time on it, but Koach Gavra is as a requirement for Netilas Yadayim Rishonim, is something that came up in the Gemara later on. You have to hopefully see on your own. On Daf Chavav, the Gemara talks about the idea that Mayim Rishonim requires the notion of it coming from your own personal force. So Mayim Achronim doesn't require that. It doesn't require a Kli. So therefore, the language of Netila suggests the Ritva and others is unnecessary, because netila comes from the language of natla, which is the word for a kli. And if you don't need a kli, then you don't need this. Okay. So that's interesting. The Ran discusses that maybe the language should still be Netila anyway, because still use the the normal format, even if we don't actually require it. So that also enters into the mix as to what exactly the proper format of the bracha should be. But nonetheless, nowadays we don't actually see that we do make a bracha. And nowadays the widespread minig is to not make a bracha. So why do you think that is? So why should there be a bracha on Mayim Rishonim but no bracha on Mayim Achronim? What would you theorize?
Like an act to the mitzvah chuba.
Okay, so maybe it's connected to the mitzvah chuba. Okay, so yeah, so expand on that. That's logical, but explain what you mean.
I mean, either if in the direction of mitzvah rechova, I'm sure which one, but it seems almost like a logical position to say that one of them requires a bracha. Let's say like a mitzvah, a davar mitzvah requires a bracha or something along the lines.
Well, a bracha is a mitzvah, is about a mitzvah, right? It's associated with something that we do as a ritual act. And I could say that Mayim Achronim is not a mitzvah, it's something that we do for another reason. Now, it's interesting, there are different ways to formulate it as an exception. You know, there are some who say that anything that's about a negative, you don't make a bracha. Or anything that's there to prevent a problem. So to make it a little timely, for example, there is a discussion about why we don't make a bracha on Mechiyas HaMalek, or on Zechiras HaMalek even. So some suggest that Shuvas HaRashva about this, that we don't make a bracha on Zechiras HaMalek, because Zechiras HaMalek is really for the purpose of destroying a Malek. And destroying a Malek, we don't make a bracha on, because it involves death, it involves destruction. And even though it's a mitzvah, but we don't make a bracha on every mitzvah. Some mitzvahs we don't want to celebrate, like the idea of not saying halal when the mitzvah are drowning, even though there are those who quibble with that comparison. Maybe there's a difference between halal and a bracha, which is a fair suggestion. But those who draw that comparison, so then maybe you don't have a bracha for something like that. So some will expand that and say there's no bracha on anything that is negative. Others have a formulation which probably makes think a lot of sense here, that it's not so much about it being negative in that we're sad about it, like having to kill people like a Mali, and we don't want to, in the sense of Poli Vech Al Tismach, you know, that kind of negativity, but it just doesn't have positive spiritual value. It's not a mitzvah that we need kavanah for, or a mitzvah that we look at as having spiritual significance. It's purely functional. So some understand that you don't make a bracha on something that is purely about avoiding sakana, about avoiding danger. It's interesting how many parallels there are in this parak to the first parak. You can find actually a lot of ways just to parallel almost Sugya for Sugya, the first parak. So we talked a little bit in the beginning of the year about the nature of the bracha for shchita, and whether shchita is a positive mitzvah or is just a way to avoid the isur nevela and the like. So, but here, if you're just avoiding a sakana, so should that get a bracha or not? That's the whole discussion. The Netziv, actually, in that aforementioned commentary to the Shilchus, the Netziv writes that when you eat on Erev Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah, but you don't make a bracha on that mitzvah. So says the Tziv, because he understands that the purpose of that mitzvah is so that you don't become endangered by fasting 2 days in a row, that you should have enough reserves so that you're able to be healthy when you fast on Yom Kippur. So if the whole point is to avoid danger, you don't make a bracha on something which is just to keep you out of trouble. So here too, you don't make a bracha on something which is just there to keep you out of trouble. There are those who raise the question, which you have to wonder how much it's a question. Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a question. So when it comes to the Sisa Michael Gagecha, right, when it comes to building a fence around your house, around your roof, so there, how can we make a bracha on that? Isn't that to keep you out of trouble? Isn't that to keep you from falling? So what would you say is the answer to that? If you accept all these premises, what would you say is the answer to that? Any thoughts? Well, first of all, I'd say if you accept the premises, it's not 100% clear you do make a bracha on that. But Rabbi Akiva Eiger is assuming with Shitaso that you do make a bracha on that. So let's assume you do make a bracha. I'm not sure why that's such a question, though, because there it's a clear mitzvah in the Torah. It's true that the Torah does also make it clear that the commandment is there because of the danger that's involved. But still, one way or another, in the end of the day, it's a mitzvah. Here, what we're saying is that Mayim Achronim is not really a mitzvah at all. It's just something that Chazal told us to do in order to keep safe. And because we need to keep safe, there's a lot of things that we are obligated to do. And, as we're saying about the parallels between this parak and the first parak, so yes, we saw in the first parak, and Daf Yud, we spent some time on the whole sugya of Chamira Sakanta Meisura, and the whole idea that we have to be very careful with matters of safety and treat them as religious obligations. So from that perspective, yes, it's necessary, but that doesn't mean that it's something to make a bracha on. It's not that same kind of thing. So it seems like there's a pretty clear distinction between this and making a roof, a fence around your roof. There's a commandment in the Torah. And here, this is just something among many things that we would do in order to keep us safe. So far, so good? Makes sense? It's interesting that Rabbi Yashiv, in the Ha'aros on Chulin, and Sefer Yesfarim on the Sechta is all called the Ha'aros. So in the Ha'aros on Chulin, so Rabbi Yashiv has a similar point, but it's phrased differently in a way that really makes it a completely different answer if you listen to the nuance. And it also puts it on a different side of our whole chakira here. So it says Rabbi Yashiv that even though Mayim Achronim does have the Kedusha aspect, but since it also has the Melech Sedomis aspect, the Shum Sakana, and people would do it for that reason, so therefore, we don't make a bracha. What do you learn from that formulation? How does that make things different? Anyone want to expand on that? It's really a different answer, and it's a whole different take on what we're talking about here. So the previous answer we were just saying is that Mayim Achronim is not a mitzvah. It's not about Kedusha. It's just functional. You need to do it, maybe, in order to keep safe, but that's not the same thing as a mitzvah, so there's no bracha. What Rabbi Yashiv is saying is that it really is a mitzvah kind of thing. It's because of Kedusha. But not every mitzvah gets a bracha. What mitzvos don't get brachos? Well, there are a number of exceptions, but one exception is if you have something that people would do anyway, that people don't only do because of mitzvah purpose, but they do for other reasons too. So then that's one situation where you don't have a bracha. So there are those who explain You don't make a bracha on staka for that reason. You don't make a bracha on kibud av aim for that reason. That's how some explain. There's no bracha on kibud av aim because, well, food is the brachas
anen. Right. Yeah. I mean, I was saying as an example of something completely different.
Right, that was a successful example, right? So, or maybe you were offering, right? So, but from a Berachas HaMitzvah, the idea of saying Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvoso V'Tzivanu, that you declare that God commanded me to do this, so some understand that you only have that formulation for something that you would only do because God commanded you to do. So essentially, that's how Rabbi Yosher's answer comes out, really, to take a very different stance, that because there's also the component of sakana, so then somebody would wash off his hands anyway, and therefore, even if it is also a mitzvah act, or a mitzvah-like act, but because it's something people would do stam, therefore it's not something to make a bracha. Okay, so far so good? It's an interesting angle. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes that you don't make a bracha on it because just like hamotzi in the course of a meal covers all the brachas ha-nenin during the meal, like Mori was saying, we have to seek out comparisons between brachas ha-nenin and brachas ha-mitzvah, so he very correctly, aptly pointed out that we have to look for where there is a tzidei hashlaga between them. So too, says the Aruch HaShulchan, so maybe the bracha you make on the Netil Sidayim at the beginning, so that covers all the washings throughout the meal. So there's no need for another Netil Sidayim at the end. So one way or another, that seems to be the practice, to not make a bracha. And again, whether you actually do Mayim Achronim at all, as we saw, is a subject to different practices. But it would seem recommended, according to everybody, that if your hands actually are greasy, so then you should wash them off. And in a pretty straightforward way, it doesn't require a kli, and doesn't require a bracha. But presumably that would be the appropriate approach under that circumstance, cover all of your bases as far as that's concerned. Just to mention, there probably are a few other possible ramifications of seeing it as a Kedusha-oriented din or something that is related to Mayim Rishonim rather than something that is purely functional. So what else, if you want to compare it to Mayim Rishonim, so what else might you attach to it? But in terms of practicality, so what other rules might you...
No talking.
Okay, so no talking, exactly.
You just have separate.
Right, so that's something that some of the Svarim talk about also, right, that maybe you shouldn't be talking in between Mayim Achronim and Benchim. So that's a discussion in Poskim that maybe we should say that people should be more careful about this. That we find that when people wash, they don't necessarily have this kpeda not to talk. And some of the Poskim objected to that. So that would seem to be totally on this. Is it something like Mayim Rishonim, where indeed that's the expectation, that we shouldn't have an interruption? Or is it purely about safety and avoiding danger, in which case talking is not going to make the Melech Sodomus magically fly back onto your hands. Sam, you have a...
I think there's something not to talk after my
Melech. Yeah, no, far. You're a post who thought that was appropriate. So that's exactly the point. It's totally, presumably, on this, that do you see this as something like Gemara Brachos kind of sounds like, that it's a Kedusha aspect that parallels Mayim Rishonim, and maybe that should be the case, or do you see it a little bit more like our Gemara sounds like, that it's really simply about the Melech Sodomus, and okay, so maybe even if you are going to do it, but it's only there for this cleanliness purpose, and once you address that, there isn't any need to keep silent about it afterwards. Any other possible ramifications you could think of? What else might have? Yeah.
After you wash out, like touch someone else's hand or shake hands with someone else, washed.
Okay, you know, it seems like the Tara components, perhaps. Yeah, Ron.
Which parak do you wash to?
Okay, right. How far up should you wash? Right. Again, it would be more purely functional for the Babel stones, wherever the dirt would be.
Sorry?
Okay, but also even more related to that, what about, well, Klee we already saw, maybe not, but the amount, right, amount of water. So the Mishnah Berurah has a address about this, that says people who are careful to do Mayim Machronim, because he doesn't think they're really accomplishing so much, because they should do it with a revius. That's just like we require a revius for Mayim Rishonim. So how does it help if they pass around this tiny little container and they just put a few drops on their fingers? So what does that really accomplish? So again, it seems to go to the same question, that if they're not going to get a lot of water, so then it's not necessarily going to fulfill the role that's more comparable to Mayim Rishonim. So all of this kind of seems to go in a straight line. How exactly do you see the purpose of Mayim Rishonim, of Mayim Achronim? Do you see it as a matter of Kedusha, or do you see it as something which is purely functional with all of the attendant nafkaminas? So just to maybe recap what we spoke about, all this, and then maybe we'll have a minute or two just to look at the next point. And then we'll set it up for next time. But essentially, so we pose the question of how do we relate to the different presentations in the different Gemaras? Is Mayim Achronim a matter of Kedusha, or is it just purely functional because of the danger of smell of Sodomus? And that could have various nafkaminas. Among them, the question of how do you resolve the two sugyas? The Ritva and the Ravid suggesting that the Gemara and Brachas was only talking about the one reciting the benching, and everyone else not. And we mentioned the question, what about Shemei Ka'oneh? And we alluded to the whole Chakira about how Shemei Ka'oneh works. And the Tosus's approach that, no, really our sugya is the controlling sugya, and the other Gemara is a asmachta coming from the sugya, and that it's all circumstance dependent. If you actually have Melech Sodomus, and you actually have dirty hands, and you actually are bothered by it, all of that is what determines whether you have to do this or not. And then we saw that there was a machlokas as to what the nusach habracha should be, and the machlokas on top of that as to whether actually should be a bracha. And nowadays we find that we don't make a bracha, and we saw many different ways to explain that. You could explain that based on the idea that it's simply not a mitzvah idea. It's just something that we do to stay safe. And we saw a couple of versions of that, that either it's we don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that's negative, and we talked about Amalek and things like that, but then, or you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that's about preventing sakana. And the question came up from Vasisa Makal Gagecha, but then we drew the distinction that there, again, it's a mitzvah, and maybe the klal is not that you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that's mishum sakana. You don't make a bracha on something that's because of sakana, and it's not a mitzvah. And that's really the issue, and that's really the difference. And that's what we noted, that Rabbi Yashu's presentation is different. Rabbi Yashu seems to see it as a mitzvah, but says you don't make a bracha because it's also done mishum sakana. So his point is that you don't make a bracha on any mitzvah that you might also do for other reasons. And that you only make brachos on mitzvahs that are purely mitzvahs, and don't have other motivations for doing them. And another approach was, as the Aruch HaShulchan said, it was that you have the Netil Sadayim at the beginning that covers everything afterwards. And then we discussed a few other possible nafkaminas. The question of should we say you shouldn't talk after washing my macaronim, which indeed many have that practice, but that's seeing it more as a mitzvah-oriented concept. And the question of whether it should be makbid to have a revius to wash. And that's also seeing it as parallel to my Rishonim. And if it's really purely functional, it'll be whatever you need to keep your hands dry, keep your hands clean. Dry is actually also a part of it, as the Sfarim point out. So by zumos, we mean dafka, wet and liquidy substances that make your hands dirty. I think we also mentioned yesterday, in terms of the divergence of practice, why it is that we don't find women to be prevalent to do mayim achronim. So many say it's a mistake, women should do mayim achronim also, because there's nothing that discriminates here. And others say that maybe it's a mitzias issue, that if it's about eating with your hands dirty, so women are more careful and they don't have dirty hands. And others say that it's all because this isn't really an obligation anymore, it's just something people have taken on. So if you've taken it on, so then maybe the women never took it on. And maybe that also correlates to the whole question of, is it really rooted in the issue of Melech Sedomus? Okay, I think that mostly covers most of the themes of Mayim Achronim. Any questions about any of that? Any issues? Everything clear? Okay, so let's just spend a few minutes on the next part. So, starting from Kosayim Beis, so then the Mishnah picks up again with themes that relate to